forgot another joke I was going to tell them. What did the elephant say to his girlfriend on Valentine's Day? I love you a ton. Oh, it's a groaner. Well, Valentine's Day is a day, of course, that many people really love and think it's really special. Some people don't like it so much, but other people really like it. I guess it's a time when people, I think women kind of trap men. And I've seen this picture. It said a woman telling her boyfriend or her husband or whoever it was, says, I don't want anything for Valentine's Day. The headline below it is, that's a trap. It's a trap. When you hear them saying that. How many women agree with that? Well, Valentine's Day is certainly popular from a guy, and we call him, I guess he's called St. Valentine's. Now, many, many years ago, that he was imprisoned, apparently, for performing wedding for soldiers, which were forbidden to marry, and for ministering to Christians who were persecuted under the Roman Empire. Now, according to the legend, during his imprisonment, he healed the daughter of his jailer. The St. Valentine's healed the daughter of his jailer. And the story goes, states that before his execution, he wrote her a letter and signed it, Your Valentine, as a farewell letter, as a farewell note. And ever since that, people started giving cards instead of Valentine's. And it certainly denotes a certain kind of love, a certain kind of caring for one another. The world knows that very well, and of course it's become a big economic thing, and there's, whenever there's a dollar to be made, the world certainly seems to step up and tries to make that happen. But there are many different kinds of ideas of love in the world. There are all kinds of different concepts or thinking or feelings, you might say, that many people feel in the world about around Valentine's Day. But love in general has a certain thing about it, that it seems to be something compelling, that every human being seems to want to be able to tap into that area of love, that to have someone who loves them. We all have an intense desire, probably, to be loved, and probably that is certainly a worldly thought about having someone to love me. How great! I know there are people who simply say, if I only had somebody to love me, if somebody cared about me. And of course, that's why many times families and friendships are connected so tightly together, because they never want to get away from that, because they know how important it is to be loved by someone. It's one of the basic needs of our society is to be loved by someone. And if we know that someone loves us, that certainly gives us a certain degree of peace. It certainly it makes us feel safe, probably, to think that somebody actually cares about us, somebody loves us. And those are all really, really good things. Love has there's a power in love, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but there's a certain emotional connection in love that helps us to be stable and to be properly, I guess, adapted to life in general. There's all kinds of studies done. If a baby is born and they don't have any attention in the first 6 months, especially if they're just left in the crib and so forth, there's all kinds of studies done that there's some real psychological damage done, because babies are not cuddled and loved, and they don't have this sense of belonging. And so love is a crucial part of who we are. Love is a crucial, attribute, but it's something more powerful than that. But it's something that helps us develop psychologically, emotionally, when we know that we're loved. How many of you know the book Love You Forever? Yeah? That's quite a popular book, Love You Forever. Robert Muchet, I guess his name is, children's book author, and it's called... The book that he wrote is called Love You Forever. I want to read to you a little bit about how that was developed. And he developed a song called Love You Forever. Those of you who ever read the book would realize the words, or you'd recognize the words. It says, I love you forever. I like you always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. There's a beautiful little book made of that. And his comments were, there's been all kinds of ideas of why that book was written or why that those lyrics were put forward. And some people, because if you were to read the book, you would see a little child, somebody holding a little child and singing the song, I love you forever, I love you always, as I live, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And the book goes on further, and even when the child might be a full-grown man, the mother still wants to have him in her knee and sing this song. And some people have taken all kinds of ideas of what that song was about, but he said, I made that up after my wife and I had two babies born dead. The song was my song to my dead babies. For a long time, I had it in my head, and I couldn't even sing it because every time I tried to sing it, I cried. It was very strange having a song in my head that I couldn't sing. That's where the song came from. That's where the story came from. It was actually that he had two children that were born dead. He said, for a long time, it was just a song. But one day, while telling stories at a big theater at the University of Guelph, it occurred to me that I might be able to make a story around the song. Out popped Love You Forever, pretty much the way it is in the book today. My regular publisher felt that it was not really a kid's book, and I ended up doing it with another publisher. One day, the publisher called up and said, this is very strange. It is selling very well in retirement communities in Arizona. It is selling in retirement communities where kids are illegal. This is supposed to be a children's book. What's going on? That was the publisher's question. I thought this was a kid's book, but it's selling everywhere. Grown-ups are buying it for grown-ups. In fact, it turned out that parents buy it for their grandparents, and grandparents buy it for their parents, and kids buy it for everybody, and everybody buys it for their kids. Everybody buys it for everybody. So far, it has sold about 20 million copies. Isn't that awesome? 20 million copies. And what that speaks to me about is the importance of love in our society. That little book talks all about love. I will love you forever. It speaks to us of our great need and desire to have love in our society, to have someone love us, to have someone care about us. It speaks to us about how love can hold a family together, how love can hold any kind of group together. Love is paramount in society today, or is paramount in the way society works. If you were to take all the love out of society, it's just scary to think what you would have left. Even though there's all kinds of evil in the world, I believe love counterbalances that and makes some sense out of the world, even with all the evil in it. Most of the world will say that the need to be loved is one of the most basic needs of society. And from the world's perspective, I guess that's true. But I want to suggest to you this morning that there's something higher than having someone love you. There's something greater than having someone love you. There is something more powerful that you can have in your life than having someone love you. And that higher manifestation of the gift of love is not having someone love you, but it is actually having the ability to love somebody else. That will bring more happiness, more joy to you, more stability in your life than anything else is for you to have an ability to express love to someone else. We see it every day, but we often don't think about it. We have a newborn child. Guess what? That child really isn't thinking about loving its parents. That child is not really thinking about in that vein at all. All they're thinking of is where they're going to have the next meal. But a parent looks at that little child and something wells up within them. I believe it's called something called love, a God-given attribute residing on the inside of us that rises up toward another individual that is doing absolutely nothing to cause you to love them. They're just being. They're just there. They're just there. And we love them. I remember, I think I showed a clip here one morning about this atheist, well-educated atheist, and she didn't believe in God, of course, until the day that she held her first child in her arms. And when she held her first child in her arms and looked at her child, she said there was something on this inside of her welled up toward this little child that convinced her that there had to be something more to life than who she was. That there had to be something greater. There was something else on the inside of her that was compelling her to show love toward this little child. The Bible says that God is love. Actually, it speaks about him being a fountain of love. He's a God from which love pours out. He's a God that oozes out love toward other people. 1 John 4:16, it says, "We have known and believed that God loves us. God is love. Those who live in God's love live in God, and God lives in them." We have known and believed that God loves us. God is love. Some say that should be translated, where it says God is love, it should be translated, love flows out of God. Love flows out of God. I believe that's a better description. Love flows out of God. In other words, God can't help but love. It just flows from him. That's who he is. He's made up of love. And if whatever you're made up of, whatever you have on the inside of you, eventually comes out. And God is so full of love that it just flows out of him. It's like a fountain. God loves humanity so much. I heard it this way. The compassion of God and the love of God is it's so powerful, and it has such a desire to be expressed that it would be like that if you could hold all the oceans of the world up, somehow if you could suspend it in the air, and the pressure of all that water, all those oceans waiting to gush out upon the earth is like the love of God. God has so much love, it's just waiting to be poured out upon the earth in his fullness. There's so much pressure. God has a desire to pour out love for you and I. God is love. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. That speaks to us of two things. Number one, we love him because he has first demonstrated his love toward us. So it's quite a bit easier to love somebody that you know loves you. And that's good. That's great. I mean, we should love each other. God demonstrated his love toward us. And just that fact should be enough for us to want to love him. But I'm convinced of this. This verse also tells us that we are able to return love to God because he first loves us. You see, when he decided to love us, to show his love toward us, and we commit our lives to him, he gives us an ability to be able to love him back. You see, to have a relationship with God, it must be something supernatural. It's not something just automatic with human beings. There's something of God that comes into us to be able to connect with, that causes us to be able to connect with God. If we say we love God, then that means that God has impregnated us with something called love that we can express back to him. We can't do it on our own. And that's one of the things as Christians we have to constantly realize, that to live the Christian life, we need the power of God. We need him in our lives. It's his ability in us that causes us to be able to walk as holy people, as a people separated unto him. He gives us that ability. You see, we can't declare, or we cannot claim, that we are holy on our own. But we can claim that we have been granted holiness because of what Jesus has done for us. So it's his power that enables us to love. We are able to love because God loved us first. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you see, the love of God has been deposited in us. It's put on the inside of us. Have you ever had this experience where you have been talking to someone and suddenly they may have been telling you something difficult about their life, and all of a sudden from the inside of you there just comes a welling up of a compassion for that individual, a love for that individual, or a desire to see that individual set free. I believe that's the love of God that has been put on the inside of us. God has deposited his love on the inside of you and I. There's a real love that can flow out of us, a God kind of love that can flow out of us into other people. And that's why you are carrying something that the world needs. You are carrying something that the world so desires. Oh yes, the world might have some kind of concept of love, and their concept of love certainly includes lust and all kinds of sexual activities, which is a far, far away from actual love. But you're carrying the God kind of love on the inside of you. You are carrying the God kind of love that the world so desperately needs. And why shouldn't you be carrying the God kind of love? After all, the Bible says that you've been made in God's likeness and in his image. So if you're like God, you should be able to carry the God kind of love. Or you should be able to love like God. Too often we see Jesus and we see him as he walked here upon the earth and the things that he did and the sacrifices that he made and even went to the cross. And we say, yeah, that was Jesus though, that he was God. Yes, that's right. He was God, but he did not live his life here on earth as God. Jesus lived his life here on earth as a man, and everything that he did it as a man. Mind you, a sinless man. He didn't sin. Jesus is God, was God, always will be God, but he lived his life here on the earth as a man. And so the expressions of compassion that he showed for individuals and other people and the things that he did, actually, man is capable of doing that. And so we are capable of loving our neighbors. We are capable of loving one another with the God kind of love, because he has deposited in us the God kind of love. 1 Timothy 1:5. The ultimate aim of Christian ministry, after all, is to produce the love which springs from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a genuine faith. The aim of Christian ministry is to produce love. The kind of love that springs from a pure heart, a good conscience, and genuine faith. So you might say, do we walk in the God kind of love? Well, do we walk with a pure heart? Do we walk with a good conscience? Do we have genuine faith? All these things are expressions of the God kind of love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" In other words, he's really saying, "I love you forever. I love you forever. I like you always. As long as I'm living, my child you'll be," God is saying. And that's a long time for God to be living. I mean, he's going to be living throughout eternity. He always was and always will be. So he's saying that I will always love you. I will always care for you. I will always make a deposit of my love in you. John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That is an expression of love, greater love. So Jesus could not have possibly expressed any greater love than what he did. Greater love has no one this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And he calls every one of you his friends. He laid his life down for us. He called us out of darkness and brought us into light. In the process, he expressed his love toward us. You see, the thing about the God kind of love, I can go to Janice in the natural person and say, "Janice, I love you." And she can pat me on the hand and say, "That's nice," and go about my life and never pay any more attention to her. But that's not the expression of the God kind of love. The God kind of love is an action. When we love someone the way God does, it actually stirs us into action. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave You see, he acted upon it. Jesus went to the cross to show his love for us. He acted upon it. It was an action. For us to show love means that there's an action involved. It's not just an expression alone. There's a real action involved in every expression of the God kind of love. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another. I am convinced that the greatest demonstrations of the love of God that we carry is that when we show love toward one another. I believe in the body of Christ, generally speaking now, generally across Christendom, especially in North America, one of the areas that we fail a lot is we fail to show love toward one another. We fail to show the God kind of love toward one another as a body of believers. You see, the world has gotten into the church where most of the people come to church to get something out of it for them. But that's not the God kind of love. The God kind of love speaks to us about the body of Christ coming together to be able to pour out and give to somebody else. That the love that we carry is to be expressed towards someone else. Now, when there's somebody who comes in and they're wounded and they need help and so forth, they need lots of expressions of love, and it's important because the love can build them up and can help them to feel safe and have security. But we should be here for that one who needs a particular deposit on that day. We should be coming ready to give out of our hearts what God has deposited in there, because we are carrying something that's extremely powerful. This love attribute is absolutely powerful. It will change people who live in fear. In fact, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Sometimes we have to teach other people about love before they can express love. The Bible says that we love God because he first loved us. If I want somebody to care about me and to love me, I need to demonstrate that I love them. And actually, when I demonstrate that I love them, I'm giving them the ability to express love toward me. And you might say, well, yeah, it's nice to have good feelings and all that kind of stuff, but love, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's extremely powerful. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, fear is one of the devil's main tools to hold the world in bondage. And the Bible says perfect love casts that out. Perfect love deals with fear every time. If you're so full of love, you're filled to the full with love, there's no room for fear. Perfect love casts out fear. There is power in love. I spoke to this man recently, and he was telling me about when he was in the army. He was in the army in another country, and he was in the battlefields. He was in the trenches. He was at war. And when he came out of that, he had a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. He would wake up with all kinds of bad dreams, and he would have the sweats, and he dealt with very powerful emotional issues. And it went on for years. Until one day, when his wife, when they were having their first ultrasound of their unborn child, his words were, the first time I saw and heard the sound of that ultrasound of my unborn little girl, that post-traumatic stress, those symptoms never happened again. From the first time he heard it, from the first time he's seen that ultrasound, that post-traumatic stress left completely. And that was 10 years ago, and he said, that day to this, it hasn't come back. That is the power of love. Now, think about it, which way the love was flowing. He's seen the ultrasound of his unborn child, So something ignited, something awakened on the inside of him that drove out the anxiety he was having. There was something connected with him. Something was awakened. The love of God was awakened in him toward this little child, this little unborn child. And the power of that set him free. Isn't that awesome? That's really powerful. When you see the power of love activated, love towards somebody else now, showing love towards somebody else, releasing what you're carrying towards somebody else. The power of love can set you free. Perfect love casts out fear. When you see your newborn child and something wells up on the inside of you, I believe that's connected somehow to the perfection of God's love. And as that flows out of us, there is something that happens on the inside. Doesn't it make you feel good when you look at a child, a newborn child? It might be your first child or it might be a grandchild, and something happens on the inside of you and you just look at them. I don't know about you folks, but I remember this. When my boys were really young, I'd stand there, and sometimes I'd just stand at the crib and look at them for the longest time. Just look at them because of the love of God. That was such a demonstration of the love of God. And these little ones want to be heard. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. But I want to let you know that the love of God is so powerful. It's so awesome. I just read something recently as well about this couple where they're having their first child. And something happened. The child was born. A perfect child born. But at the same time, there was a blood clot developed. And the mother died. And on the monitor, she was flatlined. And for some reason, the nurse said, let's take this little child who's just born, lay it on the mother's breast. And they allowed the child to lay there in the mother's breast for a while. And it was about 5 minutes later, and the child started to scream, and suddenly the monitor woke up. The monitor started coming, and where she came back. And she became healed. There was a picture of them a year later. She looked like a beautiful mother caring for a little child. The power of the love of God. There is something deep within the love of God that is the answer for this world. And every single one of us are carrying it. Wow. We've got a treasure living on the inside of us. We've got a treasure going on the inside of us. Acts 20:35. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, although this is talking about money, it's not only in Acts, it's actually talking about giving and so forth, but it's not only talking about financial gain, anything that we have. You're more blessed to give love than to receive it. When we give love, there's something that happens on the inside of us that causes a blessing to take place on the inside of us. And it says we're more blessed to give than when we receive. Hallelujah. If that's the case, we should probably be more active in our demonstrations of love. If we really want to be blessed. If we really want the blessing of God upon us. And of course, God demonstrated this in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. So we must think of that every time, that if we love somebody, we have to let them know by our giving. And you might say, well, does that have to do with finances? No, not necessarily, but it has to do with some kind of giving, some kind of help, because that's the God kind of love. The God kind of love doesn't necessarily take, but it gives. Titus 3:3 says, indeed, we too were once stupid, disobedient, and misled. Reading from the Message Bible. You know what? Some of us might read that and say, oh, I don't know if I was ever stupid. I don't know if I was ever disobedient. Well, you know, if you're saying that, then surely the next one fits, you're misled. You You were once stupid and disobedient and misled. I qualify. We were slaves to many kinds of lusts and pleasures. We were mean and jealous. We were hated and we hated each other. However, when God our Savior made his kindness and love for humanity appear, he saved us, but not because of anything we had done to gain his approval. Instead, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. He changed us so that we're no longer stupid, we're no longer disobedient, we're no longer misled. No, he is because when his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. He demonstrated that love for you and I by saving us, by becoming the answer for everything that we need. I like the Message translation of Titus 3:15. He saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It was all God. There's nothing that we did to get into God's good graces. It was simply saying, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I receive you. Jesus, you are Lord. And then living out your declaration. I don't believe in this one-time prayer and you're okay. And you can pray a one-time prayer and then that'll get you to heaven. No, there's a living out of what you declare or what you say you believe. In other words, you can come here on Sunday morning and say, yes, I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to live for him. Well, when you go out the door and live, there has to be an action that goes with the declaration that you just made. In other words, you can't come in and make a declaration before God and everybody else and then go out and continue to live like the world and think that you're saved. No, when we declare something, when we decree something, it takes an action. Just the way that love is an action, so our declaration and decree must be an action as well. When we declare Jesus Christ as Lord, then we are to live up to our declaration. Love is an act. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or abode with him. So you see the action there? As we're demonstrating the love of God, as we are declaring that we love Jesus, then it also decrees that we are to keep his word. We are to keep his commandments. And one of the greatest commandments is this: I shall love the Lord thy God with all the heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is this: shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Actually, Jesus said, if you keep these, you'll fulfill all the commandments, all the works of the law. Love is powerful. Love is key. John 21:15. I want to read this portion of scripture here concerning some of the last words that Jesus said to Peter. John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now this was after Simon Peter had betrayed him and turned his back on him and went his own way. But yet Jesus is restoring him. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said, yes. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now I want you to notice something there. You notice three times Jesus said to Simon, do you love me? Three times when Peter answered to the affirmative, yes, I love you, he said, okay, demonstrate your love for me by feeding, caring for my sheep. Demonstrate how you love me by feeding, caring for my sheep. I believe he's saying that to every single one of us. We demonstrate our love for God by the way we look after one another, by the way we feed one another, by the way we care for one another. Jesus said, "The world will know that you're my disciples because of your love for one another." See, love is a big issue, folks. It's a big deal. Love is an awesome commandment. There's no greater commandment than love. You'll show that you love me if you keep my commandments. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Preach the good news. That's one of the greatest commandments of Jesus as well. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, demonstrate the love of God to everyone around you. Demonstrate the love of God every opportunity you get. If we can demonstrate the love of God, it will turn the world around. It'll turn it upside down. Actually, it'll turn it right side up. I think the devil made it upside down, but it'll turn it right side up if we demonstrate the love of God to one another continually. Think about the power that's in the love of God, the power that casts out fear, the power that sets us free from bondage, the power that releases us from the forces of darkness when we declare love for one another. For one another. For one another. You know, natural love can cause you to look after your family pretty good. Natural love will just, take your family and say, I care about you. I'll do everything for you. In a lot of ways, that's very much a natural thing. I mean, all you have to do is watch animals and see how they'll care for their loved ones. You go, their offspring, you go and try to get in between them and their offspring and see what happens. Even a natural animal will try to protect their young and look after them. But it is something that's supernatural when you have a compassion and a love for those who are not necessarily just connected with your family, but outside your family as well. That if you begin to love the way God loves, it puts you in a whole different level. God will help us love the unlovable if we'll express that to him. If we'll say, Lord, I want to see those even who are down and out the way you see them. I want to see those people that I really have a difficult time with. In fact, some I can't even stand being around. But I want to see them the way you see them. I want to see them the way you see them. Some of you will remember Johanna Kussmaul. She's gone to heaven now, but she was with Ron Kussmaul, her husband, for many years in Africa. And when Ron was called to Africa, he heard the audible voice of God tell him to sell everything and move to South Africa. And his wife, Johanna, went with him. And she said, I didn't want to go. It was Ron who heard the voice. I didn't hear the voice of God. It was him that heard the voice of God. And I was sitting there and I was telling the Lord in this meeting. She said, it was hot and it was just full of all black people. And she said, everybody was dancing and there was dust going everywhere. And I'm sitting on the stage and sitting there. And she said, I'm thinking, I don't even like these people. I don't want to be here. God, it was Ron that heard your voice. I didn't hear it. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to change me because I don't like this at all. She said that Ron was training some people to cast out devils in that particular meeting. And she said there was a young man there praying and trying to cast the devil out of this individual. He was having a difficult time. And Johanna said, I was sitting there and watching him. And she said, all of a sudden, said something came on me. All of a sudden, now remember, she asked God, change me because I don't like this. She was being honest with God. I don't like being here. I don't like these people. I don't know like anything about this, but change me. So she was sitting there watching this person, and all of a sudden she said, something come on her. She went over to him, pushed that young man out of the way, and cast the demon out of that man instantly. And then she went to the next person, then she went to the next person, then she went to the next person, and was ministering the power of God. And in the process, she was totally changed. And as she was telling that story, she was saying, now they're my people. Now that aroma that I just couldn't stand before, now it's sweet to me. When I get together with all these people, God changed her. He put in her a love for these individuals. And her life was changed. And I believe God can do that for you and I as well. You know, if there's something that we're having a hard time with, ask God, come in and change me. Change me so that I will see things the way you see them. I'll love people the way you love them. Because I don't want to be like this anymore. And I know the power of God is there for that. He will change us. He will. If we'll just open our hearts. Why don't you stand with me, please?